Will you please to turn to the Gospel according to Luke? Luke chapter 12, verse 48. We'll just read the second sentence in that verse. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the second part. And to everyone to whom much has been given, much shall be required from him. And to whom have committed much, they will ask from him the more. I repeat. And to everyone to whom much has been given, much shall be required from him. And to whom have given, committed much, they will ask from him the more. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, our hearts are full of thanks and gratitude that Thou hast gathered us together unto Thy beloved Son. We do praise and thank Thee for Thy presence with us. Truly we are standing on holy ground. Lord, we do desire to remove our shoes and wait upon Thee to hear what Thou hast to say to us. We do pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, our ears will be open, our hearts will be open, that we may hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We commit this time into Thy hands and trust Thee to accomplish the work that Thou hast ordained for this hour. And to Thee be the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. My burden for this time is on this matter of spiritual responsibility. I think we all like to hear about grace. But we do not like to hear very much about responsibility. And probably we don't like to hear it at all. Thank God that He is the God of all grace. Thank God that when our Lord Jesus came into His world, He was full of grace and truth. And thank God that of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And all this is true. But brothers and sisters, does it ever enter into your mind that even though grace is freely given, and grace is for our enjoyment, and yet you find in the very meaning of grace, as we find in the Word of God, there is an element of responsibility. In other words, this very word grace in the Bible has at least three meanings in it. Number one, the one who gives grace is the gracious one. He is so beautiful. He is so gracious there is such grace that draws from us our adoration. And then secondly, we find grace is not only the one who gives grace is gracious, but he gives grace in such a gracious way that it is free, it is for all. Most gracious in the way that grace is given. And then thirdly, you find in the very word of grace, there is that element that those who have received grace will be so transformed, so affected, so touched by grace that they will give thanks to God. And you know the very word thanks be unto God in the original is grace be unto God. So in other words, you find that the third meaning is from those who have received grace, there will be a response. To respond in grace. Not only giving thanks to God, but also be gracious to one another. So you find that in the very meaning of grace, there is an element of responsibility. After we have received the grace of God, we are expected to be gracious. We are expected to be responsible. That we will not misuse, abuse, waste the grace of God. So you remember the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1, he says, as fellow workers, we beseech you that you do not receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, when we receive the grace of God, it is freely given to us, and yet after we receive it, we should not receive it in vain. There is something that has to come out of it. We mentioned last night that God has called us according to His purpose. God has given us grace, not just as something given to us without any purpose to it, and He will not require anything afterwards. Actually, you find grace, even though it is freely given to us, and yet it is a commitment. When God gives grace to us, He has committed something to us. Or we may say He has committed Himself to us. And because He has so committed to us, He does require that something will come out of us because of the grace that we have received. Probably in this world, there is no gift greater than the gift of life. God created the heavens and the earth and all the things. And yet, brothers and sisters, I think it is very evident that the greatest gift that God has given to mankind is life. God has given us life, physical life, animated life, soulical life. By this life, we live. I think this is the greatest gift that God has given to mankind. Without this life, we will not be able to enjoy all the things that God has created. Even though God does create all things for our enjoyment, but if you have no life, you cannot enjoy these things. That's the reason why you find the scripture said, what does it profit if you gain the world and use your life? Is there anything that you can exchange for your life? Life is a very precious gift of God. With life there is enjoyment. But life is not just enjoyment. We find that with life there is also responsibility. As life begins to grow, responsibility begins to increase. Now it is true when we are newly born, when we are babes, it seems that we have no responsibility whatsoever. All we have is enjoyment. As babies, we just enjoy. And our parents will take all our responsibility. But you cannot remain in babyhood all your life. There will be a tragedy. Because as life grows, you'll find responsibility begins to come in with life. Life without responsibility is an aborted life. You know, the problem with adolescents is that the consciousness of independence has arrived. You feel that you are an individual. You do not anymore rely upon others, attached to others. You are an individual, independent. But at the same time, you find a sense of responsibility does not seem to grow in the same measure. In other words, you want to be independent, but you do not like to be responsible. And that is the curse of adolescence. Independence, but irresponsible. And that is also the conflict you'll find with adolescence. But thank God, sooner or later, you will grow out of that stage. And as your life began to grow a little further on, you begin to realize that there is certain responsibility you have to take care of. And as your life reaches manhood or womanhood, maturity, you find responsibility is something that goes with life. It doesn't mean that because of this, you do not enjoy anymore. You still enjoy, and probably you're able to enjoy even more meaningfully. And yet, with it, you find definite responsibility. Now, if this is true in the natural world, how much more true it is in the spiritual world? Now, brothers and sisters, when we think of all the gifts of God, the greatest gift that God has given to us is spiritual life. Aside from this physical life that God has given to us, and we need to thank God for that. I do not know if you ever thank God for giving you this physical life. Probably oftentimes we murmur and even blame God for giving us this life. Why does God bring us to this world? Why do we have this miserable life to live on this earth? But brothers and sisters, we need to see that even this physical life that God has given to us is a great gift. Every morning when you wake up, you want to thank God that you are still alive. There you are still able to enjoy what God has created. Life is the gift of God. But thank God He loves us so much that added to that life, which sometimes is not very satisfying, but He adds to that life an eternal life. And that eternal life of God is the greatest gift that God has given to us. This eternal life that God has given to us has lived upon this earth once upon a time. Now, not only that it is the divine life, the life of God, the uncreated life, but this divine, uncreated life of God has once come into this world and lived on this earth in the person of our Lord Jesus. And you notice what kind of life that is. It is a life incorruptible. It is a life indestructible. It is a life unfading. It is a life that is victorious, glorious, a life that is in one, in tune with God the Father. And you'll find a beautiful life has lived upon this earth. And through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, He has given this precious life to those who believe. Thank God we have received this beautiful life. We have received this eternal life. And with this life, we are able to commune with God. Because of this life, we are called the children of God. And we are truly His children. Not just by name, but by birth. New birth. We are born into the family of God. We are born into the kingdom of God. And by this life we are able to live on this earth, victorious, glorious, doing the will of God, pleasing Him. In other words, the greatest gift of God that He has given to man is life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And this life is none other but the Son Himself. So, brothers and sisters, we have this life in us. We have Christ in us. And Christ in us, the hope of glory. We thank God for this life. We enjoy this life. But brothers and sisters, you find that this life has not only that aspect of tremendous enjoyment. I wonder, brothers and sisters, how much you enjoy the life of Christ in you. If you live more by His life, you will appreciate that life. You will enjoy that life much more. The problem is we do not live by this life. And that's the reason why we find we do not enjoy that life as much. But this life that is in us has only the other aspect of responsibility. Look at the life of our Lord Jesus. While He was on earth, even though He did not have much of material things, from the worldly standpoint, our Lord Jesus, in the flesh, did not have much. He was born in a manger. He was brought up in Nazareth. And when He began to minister, you'll find that He did not even have a place to put His head down. In other words, humanly speaking, we will think that He did not enjoy much of life on earth. And yet, if you read the four Gospels, you will find that His life is full of enjoyment. Even though He did not have much of earthly things, and yet He enjoyed His Father so much that He was able to enjoy all that His Father has created. We may walk through a field and did not notice the lilies. And yet you'll find our Lord Jesus enjoyed the lilies in the valley. And He could see in the valley the care of His Heavenly Father. We have birds flying around us, and we never think of them. But you'll find our Lord Jesus can see in these birds how the Heavenly Father take care of them. He enjoyed all things in the Father. Even though He was rejected, yet he could lift up His head and thank the Heavenly Father, for it is the good pleasure of the Father. So, brothers and sisters, you find our Lord Jesus, in His life He did enjoy very much of everything that the Father has given to Him. And at the same time, you'll find our Lord Jesus lived a very responsible life. Not only He was responsible to His family, His mother. Sometimes people say the reason why our Lord Jesus did not come out to minister publicly until He was 30, it was because probably Joseph died very early. He wasn't mentioned. And being, humanly speaking, the first son, he took his responsibility for the family. Until all the other boys and girls are grown up, then at 30, he was able to come out and minister. And even you'll find when he was on the cross, he was still responsible for his mother. Prepare a place for his mother. Our Lord lived a very responsible life. And not only in this physical sense, but of course, we find how responsible he was to the Heavenly Father. When he was 12 years old, when the consciousness that he was sent by God to do God's will. You remember, he stayed back in the temple, occupied with the Father's business. And throughout his life, he was doing the Father's will. Very responsible. So, brothers and sisters, we thank God for the life that he has given to us. And this life is meant to grow. It is true. When we are babes in Christ, there doesn't seem to have much responsibility upon us. We have other brothers and sisters who are older than us in Christ to take care of us. And as babes in Christ, it seems that we are just enjoying being fed, being taken care of. And sometimes we find we are a little bit naughty too. But even so, you know, in the church, our brothers and sisters will tolerate us because we are still babes in Christ. But anyway, you'll find when we are babes in Christ, there doesn't seem to be much responsibility. But actually, you'll find, even though we may still be babes in Christ, the training to be responsible should already start. But as we grow up, then you'll find with the growth of our spiritual life, there will come the growth of responsibility. More and more, we find ourselves responsible. So you find in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, to whom much has been given, much shall be required. If little is given, little is required. It doesn't mean that if little is given, none is required. If we have received the grace of God, if we have received the gift of life, spiritual life, then you'll find with the little we have, even at the beginning of our Christian life, there is a little responsibility there. But the more we grow in the Lord, the more is required of us. I would like to share with you, brothers and sisters, especially two parables that our Lord Jesus used. One is found in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. It is a parable of the mina, or the parable of the pound. Luke chapter 19. Maybe we'll read it from verse 11. But as they were listening to these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God was about to be immediately manifested. He said, therefore, a certain high-born man went to a distant country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. And having called his own 10 bondmen, he gave to them 10 minas, or 10 pounds, and said to them, trade while I am coming. But his citizens hated him and sent an embassy after him, saying, we will not that this man should reign over us. And it came to pass on his arrival back again, having received the kingdom, that he desired these bondmen to whom he gave the money to be called to him, in order that he might know what everyone had gained by trading. And the first came up, saying, my lord, thy mina has produced 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, thou good bondman, because thou hast been faithful in that which is least, be thou in authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, my lord, thy mina has made 5 minas. And he said also to this one, and thou be over 5 cities. And another came, said, my lord, lo, there is thy mina, which I have kept laid up in a tower. For I fear thee, because thou art a harsh man. Thou takest up what thou hast not laid down, and thou reapest what thou hast not sowed. He says to him, out of thy mouth will I judge thee, wicked bondman. Thou knewest that I am a harsh man, taking up what I have not laid down, and reaping what I have not sowed. And why didst thou not give thy money to the bank? And I should have received it at my coming with interest. And he said to those that stood by, take from him the mina and give it to him who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, lord, he has 10 minas. But I say unto you that to everyone that has shall be given, and from him that has not, that even which he has shall be taken from him. Moreover, those mine enemies who will not have me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them before me. You know, our Lord Jesus was approaching Jerusalem. That was his last approach to that city before his crucifixion. And strangely, people thought that our Lord was going to Jerusalem to claim his kingdom, to establish the kingdom of Israel. And even with his disciples, they had the same concept, because that was the thing in the mind of them and in the mind of all the Jewish people. And in order to correct that misconcept, the Lord Jesus uses a parable. The parable of a nobleman. Now, of course, we know this nobleman is none other but our Lord Jesus himself. He is the nobleman. He is the only one who is noble. All the rest are mean. And this nobleman is going away to receive a kingdom. Our Lord, at that time, was preparing to go away from this earth by way of the cross. He was to go away to the Father, to heaven. And what did he go away for? To receive a kingdom. The kingdom of the heavens. And before he goes away, he calls his 10 bondmen to him. He has 10 slaves. See, bondmen are slaves, bond slaves. Slaves for life. Slave forever. And 10 is the number of responsibility. So he calls his 10 bondmen to him and give to each of them a mina. Now, a mina is 1/60th of a talent. A At that time, it is the wages of a person, 3 months' wages. And this nobleman, out of his own property, he gave to each a mina. Now, this mina is not given to this bondman that they may have it as their own possession. These minas belong to the nobleman, and he gives them to the bondman that they may trade with it. In other words, it is a trust, a stewardship, not an ownership. The ownership belongs to the nobleman, but these bondmen become stewards. They are entrusted with the substance of the master, and they are asked to trade, to do business with the capital, to increase the capital for the master. And then the bondman, and then the rich man, he leaves. So during his absence, that's what these 10 bond servants are to be occupied with. They are to take these minas and to do business with the capital so that the master will have increase. That is their trust. Now, what is this mina representing? G.H. Lamb says, this mina represents the faith that was delivered to the saints. You remember in Jude, the 3rd verse, it says, the faith was delivered to the saints. It is the truth of God, as we find in the whole Bible. This is entrusted to the church, and we are to be faithful stewards of the truth of God. We must be true to the truth of God, and we must also impart truth to the others. This is our responsibility. When the Lord is away, we have a business to do, and that business is to keep the truth, to walk by the truth, to live in the truth, and to testify for the truth. C.A. Coates said, in this parable, we are told what we are saved for. Thank God we are saved. But what? Why are we saved? What are we saved for? We are saved to do business. We are saved to do the business of our Lord. We have a real business to do. To make a living is not our real business. Now, we have to make a living, that's true. But this is not the real business we are here for. Our real business is to trade with the means that our Lord has entrusted to us. And what is that means? See, Jacob said, it is the knowledge of the supreme grace of God. In other words, it is the supreme grace of God in the gospel. We find that God has given us such grace, abundant grace. And this grace that God has given to us is the mina. It is given to us that we may trade with it. Our real business in this world is to know the grace of God, to know more of the grace of God, to experience the grace of God, to experience more of His grace, grace upon grace, and then share this grace with others. This is our business. Well, this mina, on the one hand, is faith. On the other hand, is grace. And actually, they are the same thing. Faith is what God has provided for us in Christ Jesus. Grace is what God has given to us in Christ Jesus. Faith is what Christ has done for us. And grace is what is done in us. In other words, faith is the objective truth. Grace is the subjective experience. So it is one and the same thing. In other words, you'll find the faith that we believe becomes the grace that we experience. What Christ has done for us has now become real experience in us. And this grace is a capital. It is not just something for you to enjoy alone. There is much enjoyment in our faith. There is much enjoyment in the grace that we have received. Without grace we cannot live. The Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. The Apostle said, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, if it is not because of the sufficient grace of God, how could Paul stand that thorn in his flesh? Wonderful, marvelous, amazing grace of God that is given to us to experience, to know, to enjoy, to live with. But remember, grace is not just for enjoyment. It is for us to be responsible to that grace. We have to do business with it. We do business with grace on the one hand, allow grace to so work in us that more grace can become our experience. We be responsible to the grace that God has given us because we share it with others. The more you share, the more we receive. This is trading, doing business. And strangely, you'll find that the nobleman gives to each bondman a mina. In other words, you'll find they are equally given. When we think of the grace of God, when we think of the faith that once delivered to the saints, you'll find it is equal. The faith that is delivered to the saints is for all of us. It doesn't mean that to some people they have more, to other people they are given less. You find that the grace of God is open to all of us and is for all of us equally. In other words, what Paul has, what is given to Paul, is not in anything more than what is given to us. Now, it is true that he seems to receive more, but what is given prepared, what God has prepared for Paul, what Christ has done for Paul, is the same as what Christ has done for each one of us. It is equal. You cannot say because God gave that brother more grace, therefore he is more spiritual. You cannot say God gave that brother more faith, therefore he knows more. You find that we have the same Bible. The reason why you do not have as much revelation is that something is wrong with you. But grace is evenly given. Everyone has the same thing. But the way you deal with grace, the way you trade with grace, the way you do business with grace makes lots of difference. One with one mina, when the Lord is absent, he faithfully do business with that mina. He represents the nobleman while the nobleman is absent. And he faithfully do the job to increase it 10 times. And the other one you find increase it 5 times. You know, grace is something that can be increased. The more faithful you are with the grace that has, that is in you, more grace will be given. If you hold back, if you do not respond to the grace, if you let grace just stay where it is, maybe 5 years ago you are saved, you received grace. But 5 years later today, what grace you have received or experienced remains the same as 5 years ago, something is wrong. It should be increased. And the only reason why it is not increased is that bondman, he put that mina, wrap it up in a tower. You see, the tower is something to wipe out sweat. If you are diligently doing business for the Lord. With the grace that He has given you, you sweat. But this wicked bondman, he wants to receive grace and all enjoyment and no responsibility. Therefore, you find he wrapped it up in a tower. He has no use for the tower. So he remains one mina. Now, dear brothers and sisters, do you know that responsibility is a test of love? Here you'll find a difference between the one who earned 10 times and the one earned 5 times and the one who remains at one. Because you'll find those that really diligently trade with the mina, with the grace of God. The reason why they do it, because they love their master. When you think that even before the foundation of the world, God has chosen you in Christ Jesus. When you think that even there, God has preordained that you should be holy and without blame. When you think that God, even in His eternal will, He has sonship for you. When you think that even when you are in your mother's womb, He has known you. When you think that even there He set you apart. When you think that at a certain time, how He met you. Maybe on the road to Damascus, you're on the way to do something opposite to His will, but He arrested you and turned you around. When you think that every day, how He poured down His mercy and grace upon you. How He takes care of you. How He loves you. Brothers and sisters, if you are constrained by His love, how can you be lazy, irresponsible? How you will be occupied with His business. Brothers and sisters, how much we are occupied with His business. That is a test of love. Look at that wicked servant. He feared the master, but he does not love him. He does not understand. He does not appreciate his master. In his mind, he thinks his master is harsh, unreasonable master, wanting to reap where it hasn't been sown. You know, it's not true. It cannot be true. Dear brothers and sisters, are you afraid of the Lord? Or do you love Him? That will determine how responsible you are. If you really love Him, brothers and sisters, you don't need anybody to tell you to be responsible.
you will be responsible. You want him to be increased. That is the very purpose of your life on earth. This is your business. This is your occupation. This is the priority. Everything can be sacrificed for this one thing, that the Lord may have his increase. But brothers and sisters, if all we have is a fear, we are afraid. We know that one day there will be the day of reckoning. But we love our comfort, our ease. We do not want to pay any cost. We want to live a life for ourselves. When that bondman wrapped that miner in a tower, during this long period of absence of the Lord, what do you think he's doing? If you are not doing the Lord's business, you are doing some business. But what is it? The very excuse he makes is his own condemnation. Our Lord Jesus is absent today. It is true in the Spirit he is with us, but he is absent. And brothers and sisters, during the time of his absence, what are we occupied with? It is very serious. It will not be long. He will come back. But when he comes back, he will call this bondman to him, and he wants to know how responsible you are to what he has given to you. You find that the one that earned 10 minas and the one earned 5 minas, they receive the same reward. Well done. But that wicked servant, you find he will be disciplined. So, brothers and sisters, this is grace. Grace is a trust. Be responsible to the grace that you have received. And then another parable I think we are all familiar with is Matthew chapter 25. It is the parable of the talents. Now again you find in chapter 25 verse 14 to verse 30. And this man is going away, and you find that he has 3 bondmen. And he gave his sustenance to these 3 bondmen. One he gave 10. One 5. 1:5, 1:2, and 1:1. And you'll find he gave the talents according to their ability. Now there's a difference between these two parables. The parables of the minas speaks of the gift of life, grace, that is given to us. So it is equal. But here you'll find the talent is given differently. To 1:5 talents, to 1:2 talents, to 1:1 talent, according to their ability. You know, brothers and sisters, God created us all different. Not only our physical feature is different, not only our temperaments are different, but even our abilities are different. Now, some people God has made him with ability to handle 5 talents. Some people are made to handle only 2 talents. And some people are made to handle only 1 talent. But you find that it is just variety, that's all. God knows our ability, and he will just give us a corresponding talent for it. Now, talent here represents spiritual gifts. So far as spiritual life or grace is concerned, is all equally given. But so far as spiritual gifts are concerned, we are all given differently, according to ability that God has ordained for each one of us. He has a work for each one of us to accomplish. Therefore, he gives all differently. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find in the body you find there are different members, and the Holy Spirit will give gifts to each member according to his good pleasure. And with the spiritual gifts we receive, we are able to function and fulfill our responsibility in the body of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, you'll find we all are given gifts. No one can say he has no gift. At least you have one gift. He gave spiritual gift. Spiritual gift is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you and he manifests himself in gift. So everyone has gift or gifts according to where he has put you in the body of Christ, according to the function that he has ordained for you to fulfill. So everyone is gifted. Now we hear somebody say, I'm not gifted. Everybody is gifted. And again you'll find we are to trade with what we are given. The one with 5, earn 5 more, double it. The one with 2, earn 2 more, double it. But the one with 1, again you'll find, he dig the earth and bury it. Why? Again, you find it's a test of love. He does not love the master. He's just afraid of him. But when the Lord comes back, you'll find what happened. Now, I made a mistake when I say about the minas. In the minas, you find the rewards are different. But in the talents, you find the rewards are the same. The one with five earned five more, and the one with two earned two more, they receive the same reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But with the one you find, he received severe chastisement, discipline. Now with the minas, you find the rewards are different. The one earned 10 more, received 10 cities. The one earned 5 more, received 5 more cities, 5 cities. So they are different. In other words, you can see that the increase of grace is so much more than the increase of gifts. You know, gifts can be doubled. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, there is a measure there. That measure can be enlarged. So far as gift is concerned, there is a measure, but that measure can be enlarged, can be doubled. If you are faithful to the gift God has given to you, more gift will be given. And you can see very clearly in the scripture, for instance, like Stephen. He was first given the work of serving the table. But then you find he is so faithful, you're serving the table, that he becomes one whom the Lord greatly used, even with the word of God. So gift can be doubled. But thank God, grace can be increased 10 times. Finally, there's another parable. You know, it is a parable that our Lord Jesus, he spoke in connection with Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25. And it is in chapter 24. You find that when they are talking about the coming of the Lord, and the Lord said, who is that faithful servant whom the Lord has given his substance, and he will serve the house with food in season? So when the Lord shall come back, the Lord will entrust him with all his substance. But if that servant say in his heart that the Lord will return late, he will not return. And because of that, he began to beat his fellow servants, get drunk with a drunkard, and in that unexpected time, the Lord returns. And there you'll find that wicked servant will be severely chastened. Now, we do not have the time to go into this, but just to see what that parable means. You know, actually, what the Lord is not talking about two servants. Here you'll find the Lord is talking about one servant. But that one servant can be a good and faithful servant, or he can turn himself into a wicked servant. And probably in the beginning he was a faithful and good servant. But when the Lord delays, somehow it got into his mind that the Lord will not come very soon, so he can do what he wants to do, and he turned himself into a wicked servant. Now, brothers and sisters, you'll find how often it happens with us. When we are first saved, probably our hearts are towards the Lord. We are waiting for his return, and because of that, we are faithful in his house. But as days go by and the Lord hasn't come, we think, well, he will not come this year, nor even next year. Then we try to have a good time for ourselves. And brothers and sisters, we turn ourselves into a wicked servant. We are all God's servants. We are all responsible in the house of God. We are to see that there's plenty of food for the household. And we know food is nothing but Christ. He is our food. What Christ has done in your life, what He is to you, is the food that you should offer to the house of God. That in the house of God, everybody will be well fed with Christ. But brothers and sisters, if you keep Christ within you, just for yourself, sooner or later, you will find you will begin to be at odds with your brothers and sisters. You will fight with them, and you will begin to be friends with the world. And the result is, when the Lord comes, He will find you out. So, brothers and sisters, this is what responsibility is. This is spiritual responsibility. And this is something that we need to be concerned, occupied with during the absence of our Lord. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee that Thou hast given us so much, that we may be responsible and we may make the increase for the kingdom's sake. Oh, how we praise and thank Thee for this noble will of Thine. And yet, Lord, we do acknowledge that oftentimes we do not take it seriously. Lord, have mercy upon us. We pray that this matter of spiritual responsibility will become something that really is imprinted upon our hearts. That hereafter, we will be responsible to You. Lord, that when we shall see Thee, we will not be put to shame. In the name of our Lord Jesus.